Well, there are a lot of issues that we've been dealing with here in our state, and there's a really great person to give us some insights on some of these issues. He was the governor of Wisconsin. He's over in Spokane today speaking with the Washington Policy Center's invitation. Former Governor Scott Walker joins us here on Cairo Radio. Governor, good talking with you. I appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Well, the first thing that popped to my mind when I was told we had a chance to talk with you, we are in an education funding battle in this state, and you've been through something like that once or twice, haven't you?
Yeah. In fact, at one point, I always tell people I apologize. The Occupy movement didn't start on Wall Street. It happened on my street, first and foremost, when the protesters, not just the teachers, but all the other public sector unions and every other union in America seemed to send people in. They occupied our state capitol for about a month. But in the end, we prevailed. And for all the hype and hysteria back then, the schools in our state are the same or better. And the good news is the taxpayers and the people they duly elect are in charge, not the big government union bosses.
Well, let me give you, I'm guessing you're not as up on what's going on here in Washington, but let me give you Cliff Notes version. Last summer and fall, school districts all across the state, very much coordinated by the teachers union, threatened to or actually did strike. They secured up to 20% pay increases that everybody knew were unsustainable. And now here we are, not even at the end of the school year, and school district after school district says that they now need new funding, even though we've increased school spending from $22 billion to $26 billion, and now they're saying it's still not enough.
This has become a nationwide trend. I was just in South Carolina and North Carolina last week working on some stuff with the balanced budget, and sure enough, I think in South Carolina, they'd initially asked for 3%. The legislature gave them 4%, and then they came back and held protest for 10%. With the unions, you're never going to get to a point where they say, okay, that's enough. And that's because the union bosses are the ones calling the shots, and you got to push back on it. There's plenty of studies out there that show that when you need to have a reasonable level of funding, that more spending, particularly in many of our urban school districts across America, doesn't necessarily lead to better results unless you have accountability in the classroom. And for most of these unions, they don't want to tie anything into performance, anything based on merit. And that's what we did, and that's why there was such a national outroar from the unions, because they know when you change a system so that seniority and tenure doesn't drive things, but performance actually drives pay, that's where they're fearful, because everybody's not going to get paid the same.
Well, and in effect, a school district that's a suburb of Seattle called Edmonds, they have a school board meeting tonight, and they are threatening to lay off now 45 teachers. They will be the first, second, and third year teachers. And from what I've heard from parents, from families, is that they are some of the absolute best, most enthusiastic, and some of the longer tenured teachers maybe don't still have that fire, but that has nothing to do with who gets capped. It's all about just
not at all
how long they're in the job.
I wrote a book called Unintimidated, and there's a whole chapter with a story about a woman named Megan Sampson, very similar to what you just mentioned. She was named back in 2010 the outstanding new English teacher of the year for the entire state in Wisconsin. And that year, Democrats controlled everything. They had a budget crisis. They took it out on schools and local governments, cut spending. And so what did those school districts have to do? They had to lay teachers off. Who did they lay off? Megan Sampson. Why? Because under union contracts, the last hired is the first fired. The last in's the first out, with no regard to merit. And that's why, to me, long term, that's what's got to happen in this state and all across America. If you really want to have schools and governments that are more effective, more efficient, and more accountable to the public, you got to have the public be able to have a say in this, and not the union leadership be the ones driving these.
I'm talking with Scott Walker, the former governor of Wisconsin. I know one of the other things you're going to be talking about in Spokane today, and this has been another cause of mine, is the state wants to move from a gas tax to pay per mile. And I told my listeners about this 18 years ago because I got tipped off on a 20-year plan that would eventually make every road in the state a toll road. It might cost you 10 cents to go to your neighborhood school. It might cost you $20 to go into downtown Seattle. I am certain that that is the plan that we're on. What is your take on the pay-per-mile plans?
Well, there's two concerns on that, particularly depending on the state. This would be one here. One is just how you do that. We looked at that and had that debate in the past in Wisconsin. One of the concerns is just the privacy one of how do you actually account for that? How do you measure that? But because to me, I don't mind ideas of user fees if people use things, but the problem goes to the second point, and you see this particularly with the governor and others here, is it's one thing if you're using it to maintain or lower the overall burden. I believe all too often those on the left are advocating for changes or shifts or things like adding an income tax to say you're going to offset some other tax out there. What I've seen across the country is anytime a liberal says they're going to up one revenue source to lower another, what happens is they both end up going, and that's where you've got to be very, very suspect anytime people talk about new revenue sources if they're not actually talking about controlling spending.
Now, Jay Inslee promised me and my listeners on my show when he was campaigning the first time for governor that he would never raise taxes, and he's been at the helm of the four biggest tax increases in our state's history. He said he was going to do it just by job growth and efficiencies, and said it has been just a taxing spree around here.
Well, and the irony is, and those on the left, I mean, that's why he fits in well with the crowd, 20-plus folks running for president, because they all have that false mindset. What Ronald Reagan showed us, what these latest tax cuts federally have showed us, the president signed it, and what we've shown in Wisconsin and other states is we cut taxes by more than $8 billion, even got entirely rid of the state's portion of the property tax. And every year I've been in office, we've had a surplus. Why? Because when you put more money back in the hands of the hardworking people and particularly the small businesses that employ them, the economy grows, wages go up, more people are working, they pay more rent. Revenues go up, not because taxes go up, but revenues go up because the economy continues to grow. And that's the real sense of how to do it, unlike the way Governor Inslee talked about it. When you raise taxes or you shift around and you try to tell people this shell game that you're going to raise one to lower the other, unless someone's committed to really the free market and to standing up for reduced spending, it's never going to happen. It's going to be more spending and more taxes and revenues out of the pockets of the everyday working people.
Well, and that's so clearly obvious to me. So, as I hear you describe that and you balancing the budget, you driving a surplus, getting the taxpayers more of their money back, how'd you lose a year ago?
Well, you know, it's funny. At the end of the my term, I was talking to the press corps, and someone asked me what I wanted to be known for. I said, well, I thought about it. I said, probably as a reformer. We did budget reform, collective bargaining reform, education reform, tax reform, welfare reform. And I jokingly said this, but there's probably some truth to it. I said, I may have reformed myself out of a job. All the things we said we were going to do, unlike so many politicians, we actually did them. In the end, the practical reason is two M's, Madison and marijuana. Our capital city is like to the left of, you know, Stalingrad. It's a very, very liberal city. And what they did was the liberals spent millions of dollars turning out college students by putting the other M, marijuana, a referendum on marijuana. Unlike Washington and Colorado, our referendum questions aren't binding. But they did it anyway to drive up turnout. And they said only the Democrats cared about this issue. And we actually got 34,000 more votes than we did 4 years earlier. And still we're about 1 point short.
Ah, okay. Real quick, just have a minute or so left here. Is Donald Trump going to win re-election in 2020?
I think he is. It's going to be razor close in a state like mine, and Wisconsin's probably one of those states he has to win. And he's got to define why the tax cuts are actually work, which he hasn't done thus far, even though they do. Most people don't know it. And he's going to have to define whether it's Bernie or Biden or whomever, that they embrace socialism, and he's going to have to make the case over and over again that socialism is failing around the world in places like Venezuela. He's going to have to burn that point in, and if he can, I believe most Americans don't want to go down that path. It's failed in places like Venezuela and Nicaragua and elsewhere around the world. They want to be down the path that's been winning for America for years and will for the next four.
Okay. Who do you think he's going to run against, Bernie or Biden?
I would say today it's Bernie. My gut tells me that Biden, I never thought there'd be a day where I would say that Joe Biden appears to be a moderate in that class of yeah, leftists. Yeah. But in the end, he may be amongst the left. He may be the most moderate of the bunch. And I think in today's Democrat Party, that is a crime far too great for most of those primary voters. They want someone who's as far left as they can get and who hates the president, who hates anyone remotely aligned with them.
Yeah.
And that puts Bernie Sanders in the spot to win the nomination. And I wouldn't write it off just because he's a socialist. I wouldn't write him off because the one thing I do think voters appreciate, no matter where they come from, it's authenticity. And one thing you can say about Bernie Sanders is he's authentic. He's authentically socialist and he's lost his mind, but right. He is the real thing. And
right.
We're going to have to work hard to counter that.
All right. Great insights. Scott Walker, former governor of Wisconsin. It's really great having you on today. Appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy your time in Washington.
Thanks.
Okay, there you go. Scott Walker, former governor of Wisconsin. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. Look at that. At least one governor in the country will still talk to me, even if Jay Inslee doesn't seem interested anymore. All right, so we got lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.